you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Well, we're so glad you're tuned in on this Monday morning, April 2nd, 2012. I have David and Heidi Wisher here in the studio with me, and we're going to talk about his book, Answering the Call. Here's a portion from the front panel and back cover of Answering the Call by David Wisher. This book was generated out of love for the brotherhood. I have watched my brothers and sister firefighters struggling through marital problems, issues at work, difficulties with their children, and life-threatening illness. I write this to encourage, uplift, and comfort. I write this to introduce them to another brotherhood, the family of God. I have walked both paths in this life, one without God and one with Him at the center. The difference is huge. And then off the back cover, have you ever had a feeling that no matter what you did in your life, something was missing? It wasn't until Dave suffered through a divorce and found himself alone, raising two sons, that he came face to face with that something. It was at the lowest point in his life that he realized that something was Jesus Christ. He had been there all the time. Dave just hadn't taken the time to truly get to know him. This book contains stories from his life as a firefighter, husband, and father. And now I'll read a portion out of Isaiah that David Wisher, Urbana firefighter and author of this book, Answer the Call, cites in his introduction. Isaiah 43:1-3. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, I give you Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Now, David, I just read from Isaiah, a passage that God has used in your life, and also read a portion from your book cover about why you wrote this book and how you're answering the call that God has on your life. But we can't go any further without introducing your lovely wife, Heidi. So Heidi's in the studio with us. We've walked the nature trail. We've introduced you to our two cats and Beamer the dog. So introduce to our radio listening family, Heidi, because she's a big part of your ministry and your work, and she's your promoter and helping you with coordinating this book, Answering the Call, and making arrangements for you to speak in churches and for civic organizations, and is very involved as a wife and a mother and your helpmeet. So introduce Heidi to our radio listening family.
This is my wife, Heidi. We've been married for 20 years, and she is definitely my rock. We make a really great team, and I lean on her a lot. We share this ministry, and we've really grown closer through doing it.
Now, Heidi, step up to the microphone, and we appreciate you guys driving out from the Pasotum area. And you're here in the home studio, and I appreciate that. We've gotten to know each other, David, through a mutual friend, Jason Hodges, which incidentally, and we're launching this as of tomorrow night at the Olive Garden. We're calling it our meet and greet for our Great News Radio listeners, where literally you will be there with your book, Answering the Call. We'll have artist, watercolor artist Kathleen Jennings with a lot of her Israel-inspired artwork, and we may have some other special guests. But at the Olive Garden from 4 to 6 p.m., everyone gets a discount on their meal and can come and see you. Now, Heidi, are you going to also be there?
Absolutely.
Oh, great. So it'll be a great Olive Garden dinner for everyone. Like I said, discounted. And throughout this month of April, every Tuesday night at the Olive Garden in Champaign from 4 to 6 p.m., there'll be a variety of guests, and I'll be listing them over the days ahead. But Jason Hodges is the general manager there, and I can't remember. At one point, he and I were working on a project, and he said, you know about my friend David? And I'm like, no. Well, he's an Urbana firefighter. He's been on the force for a number of years. He's recently wrote a book, and I think you should get to meet him and get to know him. And then you came to one of the Singing Men rehearsals. We touched base. We shared a little of our testimony with each other. And as I was thinking about your book and having you on the air, I thought this would be a great one to launch it as our first meet and greet at the Olive Garden restaurant, which also includes some of the Great News Radio staff. So you've been married for 20 years to Heidi, and you have four children. So do a little shout-out. I know a few of them are grown, but, you know, they still like those words of encouragement and affirmation.
We've got Chris and Kyle are the boys, and then Hannah and Lindsay are the girls, and they are. They're great kids.
Now, I know one's going to be a firefighter, one's a great carpenter. So what are the other two daughters?
The girls are under house arrest, and they're in school.
and not able to date till they're 40?
No.
Is that how it's going to work?
Or I pass, whichever.
Yes. As I read in the book cover, you were first and foremost wanting to really introduce people into that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you had a lot of different reasons, almost layered reasons of why you wrote the book. Tell us some more about it.
Well, you know, I wanted to write a book that someone who may not pick up the Bible to read it to learn about God, I wanted to put it in a format that they may enjoy reading because it's got the fire stories in it, but it's laced with scripture and how I saw God at work in my life. It was actually initially for the firefighters. But anybody would gain out of this. I mean, it brings you to a point of choice. Another reason I wrote it was, in my job, I get to see the evil in the world. When we show up on calls, people are typically having a rough day. So, you know, what are we going to do with that? You can affect people. We talked earlier about, you know, at least three, and I've seen up to seven people minimum a day that we can influence. And how's that going to be? And I would like to do it for Christ. So, you know, that opened that up. And I also wrote it because I never felt such an urge to do it, and it's what God wants us to do. So
I'm going to read the chapter titles in a minute and ask you what was one of maybe your favorite chapters and why. But whenever you press kingdom power, influence, and authority into new realms, whether it's writing a book or taking on a Sunday school class or initiating as a volunteer in the soup kitchen or starting a practice of reading through the Bible or memorizing scripture, there always seems to be opposition, powers and principalities that literally are unleashed, that war against your soul, that thwart, frustrate, derail. I mean, I've seen it hundreds and hundreds of times, and it seems as you and Heidi have been praying about this book and writing it and then going out and sharing your faith and sharing the testimony that's held in this book about having a relationship with God. It's filled with scripture and lots of stories and life examples. You've come up against some of that opposition, and how have you dealt with it?
Well, you know, you're right. As soon as this book came out, my family was bombarded. And, you know, make no mistake, we are in a spiritual warfare. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And once you try to advance the kingdom, like we talked about, you're on Satan's radar. And, you know, he attacked my family. My wife got deathly ill. And my son was in a car wreck. I broke bones and tore ligaments. And this was all at the same time, which kept us from pushing or pursuing this ministry. But God has carried us through. And the thing that fascinated us was, even while we were down dealing with those human issues we had, the book was growing and people were reading it. It was, you know, God was pushing it forward. Now, that doesn't take away from the fact that we need to do that now, and I appreciate you having us on here to do this. But there are blessings. There will be trials, but you just focus on Christ and he'll take you through it.
And we know that verse, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But that doesn't minimize the fact that things will happen. I mean, sometimes it's equipment breakdowns or illness or dysfunctional relationships or heartache. But God's ultimate plan and purposes will prevail, and we just need to stand fast in him. And you talk a lot about that with putting on the full armor of God. There's so many different parallels in your book out of Ephesians, I think, putting on the full armor of God and you being a firefighter. Is that the proper term? My brother used to be a firefighter, he said, fight fires and save lives. I remember him always saying that. Is there another title or name?
I kind of like lifesavers and heartbreakers, but, you know, no. That was a few years ago.
Yeah. But, let me read a few of the chapters, because I want to ask you what inspired you to write certain chapters and how you came up with these titles. Spiritual firefighter, putting on the armor, command and control, tactics, tools, the buddy system, critique, retirement. Hey, retirement, that's way too early for you to be talking about
retirement. I can't even see the light at the end of the tunnel yet.
And then family, and then your conclusion. But was there a favorite chapter or portion that you loved when you wrote these different chapters?
We kind of talked about that, but, you know, to be honest with you, probably not any one that grabbed me any more than the others, because each one was so full. I mean, God really blessed me through writing this. I mean, I really grew through this, and each one has a message to it. And as I think I told you before, any of these chapters that touch someone would be my favorite. You know, it's just to sow a seed. So,
one. I know, as you said, you spent a lot of hours writing it, thinking about it, praying about it, researching mm-hmm. different things. I mean, the scriptures that you put in. I know you were sharing that sometimes you have individuals and friends that may never read the Bible, but you wanted to make sure there's enough scripture in there that they could be convicted or drawn closer to God just because His truth is right in there, because His word doesn't return void or empty. I mean, there's power in the gospel message and His inspired word, and you included that in a lot of the chapters.
You know, it's like Martin Luther said about the Bible. He goes, it runs after me. It has hands, it lays hold of me. It has feet, mm-hmm. it runs after me. I mean, it is living and it will touch him. You will get to a point, you can't ignore the facts in the scripture that's in this book. And either, you know, you're going to make a choice one way or the other. You can ignore it, but we're all going to stand before him someday anyway, so...
Mm-hmm. In case you just tuned in, I have David Wisher. I don't think I ever mentioned your last name in the studio with me, with Heidi, who we're calling our cheering section. She's here to encourage David, and he's praying him up, and is a part of this whole ministry and this book called Answering the Call. In fact, tomorrow night at the Olive Garden restaurant in Champaign, we're going to have a special meet and greet from 4 to 6 p.m. And during that meet and greet time, you can come by and get your book signed by David. You can purchase one or multiple copies for friends and family members. And then the Olive Garden, thank you God for Jason. Amen. He's going to, it's not a set discount. The way it kind of works is it could be anywhere from like 5 to 18% discount on your meal. Depends on how much you spend. I forget how it all works, but there will be a discount for everyone that buys food at the Olive Garden restaurant. And I'll be there with some other staff. Steve Carmichael, watercolor artist, Kathleen Jennings. We'll have some of our artwork on display and for sale. And we're going to have a fun time each and every Tuesday at the Olive Garden in Champaign, basically from 4 to 6 p.m. But you'll be there with your book. You'll bring a number of copies. It's called Answering the Call. It's a testimony to your life and then to how God has worked in and through you as a firefighter. What are some of the greatest challenges that you have found being a firefighter that's a Christian, or a Christian that happens to be serving as a firefighter?
You know, anytime you take the gospel to the world, it's going to rub the world wrong. And when you run into the political side of my job and stuff, there's a line there, at least according to governments and things like that mm-hmm. sometimes. And I step over that fairly often. You know, the thing is, I'm not going to be ashamed of my faith in my God, and I'm not overbearing with it. I'll never beat you over the head, but I carry my Bible with me, and I will defend my faith.
Well, I know anytime we're on the cutting edge, there's always that tension between, you know, Lord, I want to be effective, and yet I want to be sensitive to the environment and for the employer that's paying me, and I want to give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God. And,
definitely.
You know, there can sometimes be that blurring, but I know first and foremost, just your testimony. I know in the very end of the book, I like your closing, actually, that's the closing last words in your very last chapter.
So you're saying you like the end. You like when it ends.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, I like any book that I can make it to the end. As many of the listeners know, I'm a very slow reader, and I think I was pointing out upstairs, I think I had 8 different books near my bed, and I'm one that can read about 4 to 6 pages, and then I'm sound asleep. And so it literally takes me months to get through different books. And I'm very diligent, and I read any chance I get, but I'm a slow reader. I look at every single word. So, yes, in fact, when I do get to the very end, I'm kind of excited, but I love your words at the end, and it says, you're basically exhorting those that are reading this book. You're saying, you are writing a gospel, a chapter a day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, distorted or true. What is the gospel according to you? What do you mean by those closing words? What chord are you trying to strike in people's hearts and minds?
That pretty much every day you get up, you need to get the armor of God on, because whether you like it or not, at, you know, minimum 3 people, and depending on your job and stuff, it could be many more people, are going to watch you. And if you profess to be a Christian, they're really going to dissect your walk, you know, and maybe take pot shots at you or whatever. We just really need to be aware of that and know that we may be the only face of Christ some people see, and it may not be verbally. And if they see us say that I'm a Christian and we stumble or do something, we might lose them. So, I mean, we are going to make mistakes. We're still going to sin. Mm-hmm. But try to be aware that we have put ourselves out there. We're a light now, hopefully. And we need to influence people, and then we need to be helping train up people to go out and influence people. It's almost like network marketing.
Yeah,
spread it out there.
Yeah. And I know sometimes people will say, like, we're the only Bible that somebody may ever read. And that's right. Just the importance of our testimony, of our witness, of our influencing, you know, our environment. Whether you're a firefighter, whether you're a mother and influencing your children, mm-hmm. building disciples right there in the family or in your hobbies or on the racquetball court for me. I mean, that was always something that I know people would be intrigued. He doesn't swear out on the court. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, I'd know sometimes somebody would use God's name in vain. They'd look at me and say, oh, I'm sorry. And I'd never said anything about me being a Christian or anything. But thank you, God, that they felt at whatever yep. point to say that or to reference that. So, I mean, that's what a lot of your book talks about, just different illustrations and examples where we can influence others, we can represent the kingdom, we can be involved in whether it's being a firefighter or our career or vocation, we can serve the kingdom. And you make a lot of parallels between like the Christian walk and putting on the full armor of God. I mean, just because of the belt and your axe and the different equipment that a firefighter uses, the helmet, the bunker gear, the belt, the boots. Talk a little about some of those parallels and how you just saw them come alive in your life and you see them come alive through the scriptures.
Well, if you look at the flames of hell and the way it would attack or damage our soul, it's the same thing with regular flames in our bunker gear. If you don't have all that on, if there's one piece of our skin that is exposed, we could get burnt. And the same thing is true of our spirit and our soul. If we don't have on the full armor of God every morning, because as soon as you walk out the door, you're in a fallen world and the attacks are going to come. And are you prepared for that? You know, the helm of salvation. Hey, my fire helmet, man, that's how you know I'm a fireman. But it should also be the helm of salvation should be our Christian emblem. I mean, you should be able to tell that I am a Christian by my walk before I even open my mouth, mm-hmm. hopefully. Yeah, and it just goes on from there. I mean, it was really easy to draw these tie-ins because fire's fire. Yeah, whether it's satanic or a house, it's the same.
Yeah, I know we earlier read that Isaiah passage, but let me point it out again. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God. And boy,
amen.
If anyone could talk about walking through the fires or, you know, being burned, your vocation, you're as much hands-on as anyone dealing with fires. And like you said earlier on, the tragedy that affects so many people. I mean, you're there to comfort, to bring about care, to bring about hope, to kind of coddle them through this tragedy in their lives. Their possessions might be going up in flame. And yet part of your heart says, yeah, those things are important and crucial and necessary and needed, but you want to go even further or deeper because you want their souls mm-hmm. to be saved from the fires of hell. Really, you want them to be redeemed, to know God's love. And that's more important than all those earthly possessions mm-hmm. they have.
I think you hit it right there. And that was our goal for this book. They can enjoy reading the different 911 calls that they go on, you know, whether it be a house fire or out there on the road in a horrible car accident. And, you know, some people, that's at the time that they reach out the most. And to know that somebody's going to be there to hold your hand and tell you it's okay, you know, I'm here, God's here. And you hit it right on the head. That's what it's about.
Well, you know, Mark, if you've ever seen somebody that's at the lowest point in their life and you see that thousand-yard stare, that hopeless stare, you know, I think in the book I said it looks like somebody that's drowning in the ocean and they see a life raft, but they don't know how to get into it. We're there to help show them how to get into it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I am more afraid when I face, you know, Christ at judgment of the sins of omission, the times that I've run into people that I have not done what I should have as a Christian or done it as much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't get them all, but still, we've walked by people that have needed just a word.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we get caught up in our lives and little distractions, and that moment passes. And he's going to ask me about that when I get there.
Yeah. But thank you, God, that Almighty God looks at us through the shed blood of Jesus. And really, it's not really by what we do or don't do. It's by his grace, his mercy, his gift that he showers onto us. And really, we just have to cling to it and accept it. And yeah, I mean, I know what you mean. And and that's it's a good motivator if the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction to have us step out of our comfort zone and to assist and to strive. And yet our greatest striving will never measure up. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you kind of bridged that gap for us because
Amen,
none
brother.
Of us deserve that gift of eternal life. Well, I have David Wisher in the studio with me with his lovely wife, Heidi, and they're going to be at the Olive Garden restaurant tomorrow night from 4 to 6 p.m. We're having a special meet and greet. We're launching throughout this month of April every Tuesday night at the Olive Garden restaurant in Champaign, Illinois, a special Great News Radio meet and greet where we'll have authors and artists and musicians throughout this whole month. And tomorrow, David Wisher and Heidi and others will be there. So we hope you'll come out. He'll be bringing along a number of copies of his book, Answering the Call. And he's a local firefighter right here in the Urbana area, lives in That's the Pasotum right. area, and has served this area for many, many years. So I hope you'll come out and purchase multiple copies. You'll have some of your fire gear with you, so a father-son could That's come right. out, or somebody interested in knowing what it's like to be a firefighter. They can ask you some questions, get to know you, and you can sign a copy of the book, Answering the Call, for him.
I'd be more than happy to.
Now, say I'm listening and I'm thinking, we'd love for him to come to our civic organization, or maybe speak to the Awana youth group or a church group. You've been invited to many different churches. You preach and teach and would love to share your testimony. How would somebody get a hold of you?
My website's actually wishonfire@gmail.com. Just contact me there and I'll get a hold of you. I do have a cell phone, but we'll talk about that once you leave a message.
Yeah. So Wish, W-I-S-H, Wish on Fire.
Yep.
Now, is that like a nick? Oh, yeah, Wisher for your last name, like
right.
you're on fire.
That's right.
On fire for Jesus, hopefully not
Amen.
On fire because of an out-of-control burn or anything.
Yes.
And also, it's not just for churches or, you know, something affiliated with Christ, but we go to fire departments or anywhere, you know, ladies' luncheons, and we would just like to be anywhere that people want to listen.
Because, you know, Mark, it was interesting when you asked, and another reason I wrote this book is, you know, a firefighter, generally, we help people, we're good people, and a lot of the guys fall under that hazard of thinking, well, I'm just good enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm good because I help people, and you and I both just talked mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. You can never be good enough.
Right, right.
And I just wanted to show them there's more to it than that. And I think being a Christian firefighter, you just, the compassion and empathy you have for the people we go to is just deeper. I mean, you can technically be sound. But the small things, you know, the hand on the shoulder, the word, the whatever, mm-hmm. makes a difference. You know, because, I mean, I really try to qualify it with people of like, look, I'm not holier than thou. You know, I still make my mistakes, and I am still growing. Like I said, I want to keep people from judging their lives against mine. That's not what it's about. It's right. weighing it against Scripture.
And, yeah.
Because if they weighed it against your life, they'd look pretty good.
That's right. Yeah. Nobody would have to buy the book.
Yeah. Well, thank you, David, for being available. Thank you, Heidi, for coming down and being our cheerleading section in the overflow room here, whatever we call it, the upper decks or seated. And we appreciate you, too. And you'll be at the Olive Garden restaurant tomorrow, along with myself and some other staff members and Kathleen Jennings. So we invite everyone 4 to 6 p.m. tomorrow at the Olive Garden restaurant in Champaign. Answering the Call is the book written by David Wisher, and we just invite you to come out and purchase multiple copies. See you tomorrow, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.